So when your heart, when you have a heart attack, your heart has so many vessels, just like your carburetor has so many lines coming out of it. If one of them gets clogged, your bike can probably still work marginally. Two of them get clogged, I don't know at what point your bike totally gets clogged, because I only ride a bike, but I don't know really how to fix one. But at some point, if you have four things coming out of your carburetor, if one of them get clogged, you're okay. Two of them gets clogged, you're still okay, but you're really in bad trouble. Three get clogged, you're fucked. So if somewhere in there one of your arteries gets clogged, you're in trouble. It means that at the end of the day, there is no gas flow to the other side. If there's no gas flow to the other side, something's not going to work. Your bike won't run. So if there's no blood flow to the other side, your heart's not going to work. So if there's no blood flow to the other side of a blockage in your heart, you get what's called ischemia. You can survive with a little bit of ischemia to various parts of your heart, but at some point, if the blood flow stops due to what's called atherosclerosis, you end up with what's called a heart attack. What's atherosclerosis? I'm really bad at pronouncing that. That part is means if you're eating, there's a lot of controversy about like fat, diet, whatnot, but I'll just say current science says if you eat a lot of fat, you don't exercise, you don't do this, your arteries are getting clogged. Just like your hose lines on your gas tank or something can get clogged or gunk. That's what happens to your heart if you're not eating right, exercising right, and all the other stuff. There's a lot of other science that's going to like negate some of that, but that's irrelevant. So if your heart gets blocked due to cardiac disease, DNA, genetics, or whatever, blood flow won't happen, heart starts to die. So heart attack means you have chest pain. Has anybody ever had chest pain? From a heart-related thing, or like just sort of like... Oh, okay, so that's totally different. Totally different. Cardiac-related chest pain?
Diagnosed as such.
Yours was?
I get...
Okay, so you get arrhythmia, so you get chest pain related to that. But that can,
probably
yes.
Not a little
bit. Well, no, to be fair, the chest pain is interesting.
It wasn't cardiac, though. Intercostal inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Misdiagnosed as it, probably got EKG, so they thought it was heart attack.
How old
were
you?
2 years ago.
How old are you now?
37.
Shitballs. I'm so
excited
on the camera.
Oh, no. Now
shitballs
they can't put on the internet.
What was yours?
Oh, I didn't really have
somebody,
it. No,
did somebody?
No.
Yeah. It just turned out to be potentially muscle spasm. I don't know. My doctor really didn't go into it.
And how old are
you? Now, 34. It was quite a while ago.
I want to say that you're too young, but I have seen people who are like 20 and they're like, yeah, God, I'm having a heart attack, and they weren't having a heart attack. So you can have a heart attack for many reasons, right? You took too much meth, you took too much cocaine.
Wait a minute, interrupt. And it's a silly question. Do we have a protractor?
Is that your first day kit?
Wow!
I have no idea.
Can you just come and announce it on the video camera?
Protractor?
I'm on my phone.
You can have heartburn, in which I've eaten an entire thing of cherry tomatoes and I thought it was going to be a heart attack. Because all the pain was there and I thought it was going to be a heart attack, but it was heartburn. It takes a long time to make heartburn go away. So, signs and symptoms for somebody... Well, really anybody, signs and symptoms of a heart attack. Chest pain, generally for men, okay, women are different. Men, generally you're going to feel pain here. If you have substernal chest pain that is not related to an injury, like you didn't fall off your bike, you didn't lift something, you're sitting there watching TV or drinking your beer, and you have sudden chest pain in here, and it's pretty intense, call 911, take aspirin and call 911. If that pain starts to go into your jaw, usually the left side or your left arm, and you're like, my arm hurts, my chest hurts, do not wait to call 911. Alternately, I suppose, if you're like 3 minutes from Harvey, or at that point, really, you can go to any hospital. Your preference, living in Seattle, if you're having chest pain, really, there's no difference. Just go to like Virginia Mason Swedish or Harvey. I will say, Harbor View on certain nights, it takes a long time to get to see anybody. But chest pain here, numbness, pain in your left arm or your left jaw, call 911 immediately and take aspirin. Alternately, take aspirin and call 911 or get in a car and go to the hospital.
How much aspirin?
The dose of aspirin, we're actually going to talk about that actually a little bit later, just not to confuse people, but there's, so aspirin comes in two doses. There's adult aspirin and there's kids aspirin. One adult or kids. Talk about that later.
So you don't need a ton, just enough to thin the blood.
You need, so aspirin is an anticoagulant, so its job is designed to thin the blood. So if there is a clot somewhere in one of those vessels, like a hose on your gas tank, it will try to open it up so that blood flow will continue.
So it actually works on the clot itself?
Yes.
Okay, so as opposed to just drinking a bunch of booze, which will thin your blood out and not work on the
you
clot.
You could probably try to drink a shitload of alcohol. I don't know if that's going to be good or bad.
Actually, at that point,
I'd love tequila.
I'd be like, I'm fucking.
And then get in the car and go to the hospital.
I'm going to die. Get hammered and take aspirin.
So alcohol is a blood thinner, but I think aspirin has other things that it does. But
I was just curious about the mechanism, whether it had to do with the actual blood itself and any clotting that was already happening.
Yeah, aspirin is a true blue anticoagulant in terms of blood flow and stuff. So if you feel that you're having chest pain, so there's, unless you have an ulcer or you have a blood disease, there's no contraindications for you to take aspirin. Just take it. But if you have an ulcer or you bleed to death, if you get a scratch, don't take aspirin. But if you're like chest pain, left arm, shoulder, aspirin, take the aspirin. One adult aspirin is 325 milligrams. So take that.
Do any other medications have a similar effect if you don't happen to have aspirin?
For, not that I know. Ibuprofen is an anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. Tylenol, I believe, is an anti... That's the one you take for fever,
I'm just curious because I don't know that necessarily everybody has like plain aspirin at home. You know, I think a lot of folks have ibuprofen and Vicodin, you know, but not necessarily aspirin.
So I will say that aspirin is like $5.
Right, so it's worth having on hand just for this. Right.
So to be fair, we'll talk about that in our first aid case a little bit later, is you can buy aspirin in a 2-pack at the grocery store.
And that's enough for them.
And then you don't need to buy the big pack of aspirin because it's going to expire, but you can buy these little packs and just keep them with you, and it's the adult dose. So.
Those are in medical kits at a lot of companies, too.
You can get them. Yes. Yes, guys! Okay, so the goal of today's class was steal from your
pocket.
you said the chest pain would be central line for men. What would it be for women?
Generally, it's like for men, you get substernal chest pain. If it goes at all into your left arm and your left jaw, call 911 or get your SO hospital ASAP. The other thing there is a thing called radiating pain. And radiating means it starts here, but it kind of goes over here, it goes over here, it goes over there, but you're not really sure what it is anymore. Just call 911 or get your ass to a hospital. For women, so women are like, interesting. Women will get dizzy, right? Complicated.
I knew it.
Women will get dizzy, they will get nauseous. They can get shoulder pain, or in between their scapulas back here, and they can get lower back pain. So for some women, it may be as simple as, what's work with dizzy and nauseous? It could mean you're having a heart attack. It could not mean you're having a heart attack.
That sucks.
Right? See, women are like, complicated!
So they're hard to read.
if you're feeling like pain, but it's also, to be fair, it's pain that you weren't expecting. You weren't working out. You weren't working in the garden. You weren't riding your bike. You didn't get in the rack. And all of a sudden you have like this really sharp, dull pain in between your shoulder blades and your abdomen and your lower back where you're feeling dizzy or nauseous. Go to the ER.
Is there any overlap with the typical male symptoms? Do the women
get
the same central and left side?
Yes, women can also have substernal
pain
and get left side jaw pain.
Okay, so that's not...
But that's a typical male thing. Women are a little bit more in it, but women can absolutely have it. Another clue is if you're pale, but you don't know that you're pale unless you're looking in a mirror. Mm-hmm. Like if you're alone, What's that? We're all like, oh, he's dying. The other thing, too, is if you're sweaty, if you get what's called diaphoretic, it just means you're sweaty. If you just go like this and you're like, fuck, I'm sweaty for no reason and I'm having pain, go to the hospital and call 911. So I will be fair. In Seattle, and this is sort of my get upset, you live in Seattle, the ambulance is 3 minutes away, maybe five. The hospital from here to the closest hospital, probably High Line maybe from here. Burien, is Burien closer to here, or is Seattle closer to here?
Probably Harborview.
Is Harborview closer?
Yeah.
Keep your ass and go to Harborview, because a $3,000 ambulance ride for them to like do really not a lot of good for you in those 5 minutes.
They'd have to get to you, and then they'd have to get you there, too.
How much time do you have once you decide, hey, I'm having a heart attack?
That depends. Like, it can be like hours and it can be days. Some people have little heart attacks, medium heart attacks, and large heart attacks. So
it's not like you're going to be like, oh, my chest and my arm hurts, and then 2 minutes later you collapse.
Well, you could be.
I think that a lot of people
have that idea that it's a sudden dramatic event as opposed to
not a sudden traumatic event for a lot of people.
Okay,
it
so
can
then
be
you
can
be
for
having
others.
A heart attack for quite some time.
You can have, I've known people who've had a heart attack for 3 days before they finally went to the doctor and said, oh, you've been having a heart attack. So then you go in and then they give you drugs that open up those vessels and then get the blood flow to work in. Does that mean, though, that at the other end of the hose that your heart is good? Don't know. But you're still alive. So
if you notice that you're having the symptoms, but it's not a traumatic event, probably okay to just get the
heart attack. Well, there's no reason to
if you're
absolutely
like,
panic either, you know what I mean? Where it's,
if you're like that,
yeah.
You're seriously like, call 911.
Yeah.
So, what the paramedics in this clinic can come do is they can give you one or two other drugs that will open up those vessels. Now, if you're out 30, 40, 50 minutes from here on your bike or your scooter or whatever, and you're having chest pain, you have to weigh your options. Do I have a cell signal? Right? If you have any knowledge of where you are, how far is the closest hospital? Because the ambulance is going to take you to the closest hospital. But some ambulances can give you morphine or nitroglycerin, and then that can help open up your vessels in that space that it takes you to get to the hospital. So if you're having chest pain on your bike and you're in the middle of nowhere, call 911. If you're in the middle of nowhere and you can't call 911, take aspirin, get on your bike, and haul ass, or get somebody to haul ass to you, or get to the hospital somehow. So does that make sense, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of, like, what are we going to do in the city? What are we going to do on our bikes out in the middle of nowhere? We'll cover some of the first aid stuff, but keep aspirin upon this person at all time, an adult dose. And I was just saying, adult dose is just the way to go. If you have a children's dose, it's 4 times. But if you buy those little aspirin packs or you buy adult aspirin, it should just be the adult dose. And it says, take one. So, take one. If you can get your hands on other drugs, that's great, but you probably can't.
Well, just for reference, when I'm on a ride, I've generally got my GPS with me, and it's got a find nearest hospital button.
Even if you don't need it, it might not hurt to do that periodically, just so you're familiar with the area around you.
Yeah, if you have a GPS unit that says find nearest hospital, and you're like, oh, fuck, this doesn't feel good, but you have no cell signal, get your ass to the closest hospital. You're like, oh, guys, doesn't feel good, call 911. If you have no cell signal, get on your bike and ride, or have somebody ride you. If you're alone, ride until you get a cell signal. Take aspirin. And then get to the nearest cell signal. So how many people ride with GPS units? I don't. So ride with your GPS unit, find the nearest hospital, try to get there. That's a great point. So aspirin is the key in those terms of what we can buy over the counter. However, I'll teach you other things in which you can obtain other drugs from other people. And then you can make your own decisions. Stroke, since a couple of us are above the age bracket, but it doesn't matter what your age bracket is. Anybody ever have a stroke? know anybody who had a stroke? Strokes set balls. What's your situation on a stroke?
My therapist gets them
often. Gets them often. That's a lousy situation to be in.
Yeah, he's not in good shape.
So a stroke is also called a CVA, cerebral vascular accident. Means.
Seizures.
But you know what? To be fair, well, so a stroke means there's a blood clot in your brain, meaning it's the same thing with the hose, right? You got so many hoses going up to your brain. You got two hoses going up to your brain. If one of those gets clogged, or the other one's up in your brain gets clogged, part of your brain shuts down. So what does that mean? If you've ever known anybody or seen anybody or saw a movie where somebody had a stroke, part of their face would fall from more, and then part of their body doesn't work anymore. So if you're hanging out with somebody, you're riding, and they have a stroke, part of their body is going to shut down. So either the accelerator or the clutch. Either way, they're going to crash. So then you get to them, and you're like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, that might be what it's like. Sometimes people with strokes cannot formulate sentences or words or sometimes they can't speak. But more importantly, so they teach you something in CBA classes like fast. Face, arms, speech, and time. Fast. So a face is like smile. If I try to smile, I'll go. But if I had a stroke and I tried to smile, I'd be like, can't do it, but that's what my face was like.
A stroke is polarized, right, Tim? It's like one side of your body
one
or
side
the other.
Or the other.
It's not like your lower right and your upper, you know, your left arm and your right
face. Oh, it's going to be on one side. But that one side means it affected the opposite side of the brain. But it will always be on one side. So I wouldn't be, I'd be like, and then if you said, Kim, put your hands out in the air like Frankenstein, I'd be like. If I were normal, I'd be like. But if I had a stroke, I'd be like. Well, depending on the side, right, I'd be like.
Because there's a thing called Bell's palsy that I actually had like 10 years
Here's
ago.
Bell's palsy.
But it's only your face.
Right, Bell's palsy only affects your ears. So.
Yeah, it was freaky.
But you probably took a medication or did something, yes?
No, that was the freaky part. Was I went in and they're like, yeah, well, you're not sure exactly what causes it. We think it might be in the spinal cord, and it'll probably go away, but maybe it won't. And maybe it'll come back, and maybe it won't. And I was like, well, great, thank you.
Yeah,
they did. They literally did nothing. We're like, oh, we think stress might cause it, so don't stress out. And I'm like, how my face is melting off? What the fuck?
I can't do anything.
But if you say to somebody, and we're riding together, and I'm like, Tom, squeeze my hands. And he's like, I can squeeze that. And I'm going to squeeze his hand, Tom. And he has nothing. That's a really good indicator he's having a stroke. Facial droop, can't squeeze, can't move their arms the same. Alternately, they won't be able to, like, if you say push on the gas pedals, one leg won't be able to push on the gas pedals. Stroke, call 911 ASAP. If you're close to Seattle, go to Virginia Mason.
What else, what can you do besides that?
For a stroke, almost nothing. Some medical people say give aspirin, but that's, it's an up in the air.
Can you do any harm with aspirin?
If they're taking blood thinners, if they have an ulcer or they're taking blood thinners, yes, you can do harm.
Okay. Same story with heart.
Same sort of the heart attack.
Okay, so the same moderate precautions about who you give it to. This is like a decent rule of thumb that you aren't going to do much damage with that. You can maybe help to go for that if in doubt, and unless they have a specific medical condition.
Right.